You would recall Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Remember now thy Creator. There's only one Creator, and he has his creation, one God and his creation. And thus, in Isaiah chapter 40, picking up, if I can, in verse 27. "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding?" So God who is the Lord, who is the Creator, is always understanding and knowing all about his creation. He is not an absentee landlord. He is an ever-present landlord. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and the word he's the Creator, and the word Creator there is a verb, and you would find it the very first time it's used in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." God created the heavens. There's your word, the verb, to create. It is a word, a verb that is exclusively used for God, by God. No humans. Create. Now, in the light of that, in the light of that word, and God thus is the agency. Always he's the agent, he is the Creator in all that takes place. And thus, in order to compare it, you use human analogy to bring forth the God's, the verb, to bring forth God creates, brings into existence, makes happen. You have to use human analogy because we have no analogy for it. In fact, the Greeks had no word for this. They had no verb for this Hebrew word. They didn't have any. They didn't know creating. They knew creating, but they had no way. They had no language, no understanding of creating out of nothing. They have none of that. So now, having kept that little bit in mind, so in Isaiah chapter 45, before you do that, would you go with me to Isaiah 43, just to lead into it a little better? God happens to be the Creator, and Israel should understand that. God created the nation of Israel. And in Isaiah chapter 43, you would recall verse 10. "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I'm the only God." Verse 11, "I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." Isaiah 45. And in verse 21, Remember 45 and 21. "Yea, tell ye and bring them near," everyone to be here, to be a witness. "Bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together," and with all their systems, programs, philosophies, religions. "Let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God, and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Why? For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Now, over, if you would, to Isaiah 45, as you hear, and in verse 18. For thus saith the Lord, that created, there's your word, the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it, not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited, that's the world we're sitting on here. I am the Lord, there is none else. I created, God created it, but not in vain. He created it to be inhabited. That's what he did. He put it out, and he hung the ball out in space, and he created it, fashioned it, made it unique of all the things in forever, in creation with billions of galaxies and trillions of stars. Maybe trillions of galaxies, for all we know. And God made this little place, Earth. Now, over in the light of that, he made it to be inhabited. Over to Genesis, if you would. Genesis and chapter 1. Genesis 1 and 27. I'll read verse 26, I need to. And God said, 1 and 26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Man was created to be exercise management, to be the Lord, to be the boss of everything, including dinosaurs and rhinoceroses and everything else. Verse 27. In doing so, God, you made man for that wonderful purpose, to exercise and exhibit your wonderful person. You are the creator, and you have created man, and man is to occupy planet Earth, which is full of creatures, created things. The Earth is full of them, of all kinds, in the air, under the sea, on the land. You, man, humans, are to represent God's wonderful, the creator, and you, the creature, have been given the responsibility of dominating all of creation, as it were. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created, there's your verb, created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You are to be the Lord and the manager. I am the Lord and manager of everything. I create you to represent who I am to all the angels, good and bad. Pay attention. Now, would you please note in verse 27, God made the earth to be inhabited. And in verse 27, you are familiar, God created man in his own image. And the word image there, is a shadowing forth. Not an exact image as a photograph, not like that. We don't look like God, and God doesn't look like us. God and the image in principle, the word remember we shared in the past that helps you with that, is resemblance, image, a resemblance to something. Man was created to resemble God. How so? To resemble, to have a reproduction in form, in substance of God. How so? Man was made in the image, and thus, they have volition, they have mental, moral choice, self-consciousness, emotion, existence, to be able to say, I am that I am, and all of you can say, I am who you are. True? You are given that. Where did you ever get that? You didn't get that from chickens or leaves or evolution. God gave you that. I am, because we're made to resemble, for God to be represented. And thus, our moral reasoning power, I ought, I am responsible, morally responsible, I ought, and I will. I, humans, have determined self-determination. They make choices, and they have consequences for their choices. I am, I ought, I will. And thus, adding to that word, image, we then take another word, which is, verse 27, God created man in the image of God created him, male and female created he them. And you'll notice, please, that God created us in verse 26, to pick up our word, you have the word image, verse 26, but then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. I want to add the word likeness to the word image. And the word likeness is to be like something, to represent something, properly to place one thing in relationship to something else, to resemble. So as to represent, you need to resemble in order to rightly represent. Image and likeness. Likeness is added as an explanatory addition to the word image. And thus we are humans are created in the image and likeness of God. They have volition. God has volition. I am, I will, I ought. And we have volition. I will. And thus I meant to bring it out, I didn't. I have a little mirror, and if you hold the mirror like this, you can spin the mirror. When you have, as a human being, you have a will, I will. You can make choices, and you have consequences. The I will is the hinge for the mirror. We can spin and look to God, or we can spin the other way and choose not to look to God. The hinge is your will to look to God and not. That's why you can get saved. You can't change your old nature. You can't fix it. But you can choose God by an act of will to do it. You have a will to turn to God, or to turn away from God. I will. Now, having said that, if you would, keeping in mind resemblance and reflection, as it were, to represent and to resemble, to reflect. And thus, here's where, as a mirror, and remember now the word image is derived image. Now that means the image shown. Where is the image coming from? The object is God. God is the person. And the mirror reflects, the person reflects the source. The original source is God. God created human beings to inhabit the earth, to dominate over all of creation as we would know it from an earthly standpoint, to dominate all of creation, and in the process of dominating, that they would be able to represent God, so that as you look at man in the image and likeness of God, you'll see God. God is the creator over all of creation. Humans were meant to be on earth to represent to all other creatures and life God. God is the creator, and humans were meant to reflect God. So when you looked at Adam and Eve, if they had held in their right, they were able to name all of the animals, and not one of them would bite, kill, or touch Adam and Eve. Dinosaurs and all, rhinoceroses, tyrannosauruses, you could line them all up. And he names them. He's the boss. He's the boss. God made Adam and Eve to represent God in his image. God is the creator, Adam, and he is the author and the dominant one to rule over all of creation. Man was meant for that wonderful assignment to represent God, to represent God, to reflect God in a most wonderful way, like in a mirror, to represent in order to reflect his own likeness. God, image and likeness, means God's going to see himself. The same as, you know, if we had the mirror again, you know all this, that if you look in a mirror, you'll see yourself. You, the mirror, represents you. You look in the mirror to see yourself. God looks in humans to see himself, to find himself, to show himself. That's his wonderful, wonderful assignment for us. Now, who are less than angels, other than angels? Here we are, nobodies. That's right. Now, so in God is the origin. So we humans are to represent the image and likeness of God. I am, I ought, I will, etc. Now, sin comes along and the mirror turns. I will, and the mirror spins around. And Adam and Eve turn away from God. And thus, when you look in the mirror, there's no more God. Because Adam and Eve are reflecting the system around them. They're reflecting the creation, not the creator. When you look at the creator, you reflect him. When you look at birds and bugs and beasts, you reflect them. That's why you'll have in Romans 1 and 23, idolatry is when man goes and makes an all man who is a living creature makes himself God and makes idols out of other creatures. Idolatry. The mirror swings in the other direction. Now, having said that, Genesis chapter 5. And you would recall Genesis 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, there's your verb, in the likeness, there's your word, of God, made he him, man. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created, there's your verb. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his own image, and called his name Thess. So what happened to God's image? Well, the mirror is swinging, looking this way, away from God. And so when born, we're all born with Adam's sin, And we're minus, we aren't looking to God, we're disconnected from God. Sin separates us from God. So here we are, disconnected. And Adam created Seth, Abel, etc., Cain, in his own image. His own image, not the image of God, the image of man minus God. God is missing. And now what? So when you keep reading, and you will read, I'll just give you a couple of things. Chapter 5, verse 5, the very last three words, and Adam, and he died. Verse 8, Seth, last three words, and he died, he died, he died. Enos, verse 11, and he died, and he died, and he died. Verse 14, Canaan, and he died, and he died, and he died. They all die. The wages of sin is death. Looking away from God, they were made in the image and likeness of Adam. So are we. We're like that. In sin did my mother conceive me. Here I am. And we're following the line of Adam. In Adam, all die. God made a wonderful promise to Adam and Eve, Genesis 3:15, that the seed of the woman, the promised one, you need to believe God. And remember, and Adam and Eve believed God. Adam and Eve did. And thus the Eve was the, Adam called his wife's name Eve, etc., etc. She's the mother of all living. There was no living one. There was no living one. There was no other human. Never saw such a thing. But they believed God was going to give another child from the woman in a most wonderful, unique way. So now in the process, Abel sacrificed. Abel came, brought a sacrifice. The required sacrifice, the seed of the woman, there had to be a sacrifice to pay for sin. And in order, Abel did so, Cain did not. Noah honored God. And in chapter 6, as you know, Noah honored God and walked with God, verse 8 and 9. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And but, Noah turned the mirror around and looked to God. But the rest of the humans, verse 5, kept away from God. They didn't turn to God. They turned and looked at each other and looked at the world and said, we're it. We don't need to look to God. We can leave God out of the picture. Verse 5, chapter 6, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts, of his heart were only evil continually, his whole thought process left God out. There was no room for God, no place for God. God gave him a heart and a mind, a mental to think and understand, moral choices. They threw it all aside and left God out of the picture, totally out of the picture. So in the light of that, Israel comes along, a people, a very special people, Israel. And God raises up people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and God raises up Israel. Israel is given a very privileged place. Abraham turned to God, turned the mirror. Jacob turned to God. And Israel, as a nation, did but didn't turn to God. But they will turn to God. Now, having said that, their wonderful assignment, get that part of it, their assignment, humans, to be, if you don't understand anything else, how would it be if I were able to go right now and with my magic wand and tell you that you could go to any zoo, you could go into any crocodile farm, alligator farm, any great herd of elephants, lions. You could go into a school of piranha. I mean, you could do anything. And everywhere you are, all of human life would obey you. Would you think that's something? If all of everything, you said, sit, stand, run, and they all obeyed you, would that be something? You said, no. What happens if I could do it? What would you do? Would you take it? Wow. Isn't that's earthly, simple? Wow. That's what they had. And they threw it away because they turned away from God. Now, humans, here we are. God, humans have goofed up the whole thing. That's why the devil is the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost the opportunity and the devil took it over. And he is the Lord from a little L of all the nations of the world. He's the boss. And all of life is there, eat and be eaten. Wow. Now, so God, here's Israel, and you can't get any of this back. But God, what are you going to do to help? So the world, humans, are missing out. They don't understand. God, they lost it all. What a privilege. Now, God, help them. Over, if you would, please, to Exodus chapter 19. And let me just run it by you. Exodus 19. And chapter 19, verse 4. I know you know this. It's wonderful, though. I want you to get the wonder of Israel's position. Could have been, will be. Verse 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself at Mount Sinai. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar, special, prized, personal treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. What a privilege. It isn't what it could have been, but boy, what a privilege it is to be brought the mirror to turn around and look to the Creator. To be able to begin to reflect the wonderful God who manages all of it. The Creator. Over, if you would. In your Bible, to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 33, better. Chapter 33, Deuteronomy. Israel, as he come, Moses is about to step off the scene. Verse 20, 33, 29, directly. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help? God, you are the shield of their help. And who is the sword of thy excellency? God, who is able to go? You are able to protect them, keep them. The sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, though thou shalt tread upon their, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. You're going to be more than a conqueror over all, in all, and about all. you're going to be more than a conqueror. You're going to be everything that's up. No one will be higher than you. No one will overlord it over you. I am the Lord, and you will yield and look to me, and everyone else will yield and submit to you. And in the millennium, of course, that's what they're going to do. The nations will submit to Israel and thus to God. Over, please, in the light of that. Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13. No one, what a privilege, unique, wonderful privilege Israel had. In chapter 13, Jeremiah, may I go directly in the light of Israel's unbelief, but God isn't changing his wonderful plan for Israel, a prized, precious people. No one else can, we shared it before, no one else can have the nation of Israel. People have conquered and conquered and conquered, and they never conquer. Israel always exists in some form of way. Israel is the nation that can't be destroyed. The nation, the reason it can't be destroyed is because it's God's. He never gave Israel to anyone else except himself. And no one can have it. And that's why anti-Semitism and all of that. Now, having said that, back chapter 13, in the light of that, God, your plan doesn't, wonderful plan, even though Israel is in unbelief in Babylon, etc. Verse 11, for as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I cause to cleave unto me, said God, the whole house of Israel, the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord. Why? That they might be unto me for a people, for a name, for a praise, for a glory. But they would not hear. I offered and reminded them of their unique privilege to turn the mirror back to God. But they wouldn't turn. They wouldn't turn. They kept it in the wrong direction, to self and the system. They wanted to be like other nations, etc. Now, over chapter 31. Chapter 31. God is going to honor. Chapter 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke at Mount Sinai, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with them, a new one, with the house of Aaron, with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That Israel is going to turn the mirror back to God as a nation. And what's it going to do? The mirror is going to reflect God. Not self, not the system, God. And all of the benefits would be Israel's. Now, over, if you would, chapter 32. Chapter 32. In verse 37. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath. And I will bring them again into this place, and I will cause them, Jerusalem, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And in that day, when I do that in the millennium, they shall be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them one heart, one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in the land assuredly, with my whole heart, with my whole soul, said God. All of me is going to be involved. That's why God said, you love me with all your heart, because that's how I'm loving you. Both ways. You love me with everything you got, and I'm going to love you with everything I got. And I got more than you do. We love him because he first loved us. Wow. Now, thus, and we don't want to miss verse 42. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them, wonderfully, wonderfully so. One other place to get the point, I think you should be getting a little. Israel, you know, if I was a Jew, I would be rather encouraged if I just read and believed what God has in future for us. Here we are in Israel with Iran probably going to have to go do something, you know, Syria up there with all the missiles down there, and his Gaza down here, and Egypt over here, and all of them there, all the brotherhood, Muslim brotherhood, all of it's there. Wow! Wow. Just to know, we could get annihilated from a human standpoint. But God, not so. You have a wonderful future, an awesome future. Why were we so stupid in crucifying you? Over Isaiah chapter 61. You know he had to die anyway. Isaiah 61. God in your wonderful future. Verse 3. Isaiah 61:3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Reason. That they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he, God, might be glorified in them and by them, that God would be honored as the nation to all the nations, to represent and reflect God the Creator. That was their assignment, to look to God, and God would be in them and among them, and all the world would have to pay attention. There's no God like you, God. All of our religions and all of our idols and all of our philosophies and every ideologies and everything else. Wow. No one's like you, God. And the world would have to pay attention. Wow. Now, having said that, to reflect, to represent God, God the Creator. And thus Christ the Messiah. Christ the Messiah was rejected. His first coming, he was crucified. At his second coming, he will be crowned. Now, God, you know, did you ever change your design? No, never change the design. Genesis, sin came along, and Adam and Eve and all of humanity lost the privilege of being, looking to God, the Creator, and being Lord in heaven and earth, over heaven. Oh, being Lord, as it were, being Lord. being Lord over all the earth. Israel would be the nation among all nations, with all of the chaos, corruption, all the wars and rumors of wars. Israel would be, if they trusted God, would be the nation in the middle of them all to represent God. And the world would have to pay attention, because no one could defeat them. And they'd begin to submit and yield. But Israel didn't want to be. Israel turned the mirror and wanted to be like the nations. So the mirror looked at the nations, and Israel's just like them. Yeah, now. But God is going to do something wonderful in the coming up in the days ahead. And Israel is going to be the prize nation. And the lion will lay down with the lamb. And the asp will not bite. No poison. Everything will be nice. And God's going to put Israel right in the place to represent and reflect God the Creator. God would be their God. Wow. Now, all of that is because of Christ the Messiah. And thus in the process, the first Adam was made in the image and likeness of God. The last Adam is made in the image and likeness, not like Adam. Oh, so much better than Adam. So much different than Adam. You mean it's different? You bet it is. You bet what Israel's going to have is nothing like you have. I want you to get to see what they're going to have, because I mean, that's rather awesome. And what they're going to have is nothing like you have. And most believers are stupid about the whole thing. They don't have beans. And that's why we go to church and come and go, and they have no sense of the whole. Wow. Now, in the light of that, Christ is the Messiah, the Christ. And let me start it out for you at least. Oh, boy. Over Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And picking up, if I may, go directly verse 14. In the great prayer, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the Lord Jesus Christ, even the forgiveness of sins. Who, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the image. There's the word image, the same image, derived image. The Lord Jesus Christ is the wonderful. You want to know what God is like? He is the image. You wanted to know in the days of Adam, and if they were with it, you would look at humans and you would know God is the Creator in a most wonderful way. I am, I will, I ought. Here in Colossians 1 and verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the firstborn of every creature. He is the invisible God. Over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Going verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest, why, so that they don't know and don't understand and don't even care to know the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That God, in Christ, you would see God. You could hold his hand. You could give him a drink of water. He could give you a drink of water. God. Wow. God in the flesh. That's right. In the image of God. Adam, not like you. No. This is big time different. Now over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews Hebrews chapter 1. May I pick up, please? In verse 1, God, who at sundry times, various times, and divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He's the creator. That's right. Who? Christ incarnate, the Word become flesh. Who? Being is present tense, being, the brightness, the wonderful reflection, radiation, outgoing of light. Wow. Who being the brightness of his glory. And remember the Lord in the Mount of Transfiguration? They saw it and his face lit up like the sun. It expressed it. The inside showed itself outside. Wow. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image. That's a different word now than we just had. Derived image. That is the thing that you would take. You would take the engraving, the insignia, and that which you're doing. Say you were making a coin and you take the piece of metal, and then you would stamp the metal with a iron or brass in figure on it, and you would stamp it, and it would mark. It in the metal would be formed to be just like the stamp, just like the stamp that hit it. Wow. That's the word. The Lord Jesus Christ was stamped by God. And he is the exact replica of God. Wow. He did that. Thus, all things by the word of his power, which he by himself purged our sin, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. God, you have done something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You have done it so wonderful. Wow. Humans have gone and created, making man in their own image, their own likeness, like to corruptible man. And humans have lost out. And you know what's coming up, don't you, with the Antichrist coming up in the days ahead. He's going to make an image in the temple that he's going to have built in Jerusalem. And everyone's going to look at his image. See? His image. What's his image going to do? Condemn you. His image. His own image. And the world's going to approve. God has done something wonderful. God has made it so that you could be a new creature in Christ. You'll pick it up. I have to do it because I could tell you this, but you aren't going to get it even after I tell you. To be made in his image. A new creature. The man that I am not is the man that I can be. The person that I can be. The person that I can be is always in the light of the man that he was, that he is, that he was and is. And the man that he is the person that I can be. Wow. And the person that I was, the person that I was, is not the person that I am. I came to know the Lord as my personal Savior. And God did something wonderful. The person that I am is not the person that I am becoming. I'm becoming something else. Wow. God, here we are. And you made something happen for us. Israel has a wonderful future. Right? But nah, we don't see anything. It is so. You have a wonderful tomorrow, today. Oh, wait, Matthew 23, closing. Appreciate your patience. We didn't get anywhere. Where am I? Let me tell you. Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23, our Lord looking at Jerusalem. Verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them, which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her children under her wings, and you would not. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the last week before he's crucified, during that week, is looking down from the garden, Mount of Olives, looking down into the city, looking down. How often would I have done that? And they wouldn't do it. You would then, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. I wonder, dear friend, what God has done for us. What happens? What would have been? What would have been the case had Israel received him instead of crucifying him? What difference would it have made? It's the thing you want to put in your own life. What would I have been? When you come to the end, what could I have been? What might I have had I been a little smarter and a little wiser? And a little more serious about my existence on planet Earth. Wow. What might have been? Do you want that written on your stone? What might have been? What could have been? And it never happened. Never, never happened. It doesn't happen to anyone else.
Why does it have to happen to me?
Oh, slow of heart, fools slow of heart, we just lose out. How stupid we are.
No, we're not stupid. We're like everybody else.
True, true, true. And the world is stupid. So, how's that? The whole world's stupid. Dummies. Wow. What could have been? What could have been? Our Father in God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. God, my God, help us. And we'll thank you for your grace and mercy and kindness, God. Thank you very much. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convince them that they would receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God, make it all come together. Thank you very much that it is not make-believe and not a dream and not something out of our reach. It has been made very close to us because of your person and work on Calvary's cross. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. You may want to sing a stanza if you would.